Gather round wizards, it's time to explore. A world full of magic, we're opening the door. With Dan and Jessica, we're here for the ride. On broomsticks and butterbeer, come along for the glide. Chapter by chapter, we're diving so deep through Hogwarts halls where the secrets creep. From the sorting hat to the wizarding fights, potions and spells and those magical nights. With our cups full of butterbeer, we analyze the lore, the friendships that blossom, the battles and more. Every word written we take with delight, bringing Harry's world back into the light. Broomsticks and butterbeer, let the magic flow. Join the discussion, there's so much to know. With Dan and Jessica, let your spirit fly. In the wizarding world, we'll always reply. From the Quidditch games to the dark magic's call, we'll take on each chapter, seeing how they enthrall. Hermione's wisdom, Ron's loyal fight, we'll discuss every twist, make the dark turn bright. With an open heart and a curious mind, we'll unlock the secrets that are waiting to find. So grab your broomstick and settle in tight. It's time for the journey we're starting tonight. Broomsticks and butterbeer, let the magic flow. Join the discussion, there's so much to know. With Dan and Jessica, let your spirit fly. In the wizarding world, we'll always reply. Through the pages.
Welcome back to another edition of Broomsticks and Butterbeer, episode number 164. I'm Dan Rhino.
I'm Jessica Rhino.
And we have just recently begun our journey into the final book, the ultimate book.
Yeah.
We did the penultimate.
Yes.
Now we're doing D-ultimate.
D-ultimate.
Yeah, D-E-U-L-T-I-M-A-T. D-ultimate book in the Harry Potter series, that being Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows.
Yes. Question mark?
Is that correct?
Yes.
Last time we talked about chapter one. We'll get into chapter two today. Chapter one, quick recap of the Dark Lord ascending. We had a big bad guy meeting at Malfoy Manor. Voldemort is making himself at home there. Charity Burbage, the professor of Muggle studies at Hogwarts, is hanging like a chandelier over the table and being tortured. Snape has become Voldemort's right-hand man after killing Dumbledore at the end of the last book. And Voldemort's main objective is to find Harry Potter and kill him as well. We also learned that the bad guys have infiltrated the Ministry of Magic. Tonks and Lupin have gotten married. Voldemort has zero respect for any members of the Malfoy family. And Nagini eats Professor Burbage at the end of the chapter, so she will not be returning to Hogwarts.
No, probably not.
This upcoming school year. It's up in the air. She was up in the air.
She was. But now she's not.
In the
so
belly,
I think it's decided.
The belly of the beast. I'd put her down as a maybe.
No, she was a maybe when she was up in the air, but now she's not up in the air anymore.
So she's definitely coming back.
Definitely not coming back.
Chapter 2 is titled In Memoriam. And we'll get to why in just a second. But Harry's back at Privet Drive, possibly for the last time.
Possibly.
He seems to be leaving behind a lot of the items from his magical journey over the last several years. Is this just because he knows he's going on the run and needs to pack light?
Yeah, and, you know, some of the stuff he's just not going to need.
So he's got like a go bag.
Mm-hmm.
With the essentials in it. What would your go bag look like? Not you right now, just Rhino, not the magical version of yourself. If you had a go bag, which I don't think you do.
I don't. I have lots of bags, though.
You know, I was talking to, I think it was, we went to see Max Brooks one time.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked him about, like, his zombie go bag. And he says, I live in California, so we kind of do have go bags, like, you know, for fires and earthquakes and things like that. So, like, you know, that's something that he said that he grew up used to
just
having.
Normal.
Yeah. But here in the Midwest, it's, I guess it's not really a thing for us as much.
No, I mean, we still are told you should have, like, supplies in your basement for, like, tornadoes. So, technically, we're supposed to have, like, a jug of water for each person and supplies in the basement for tornadoes. But we're in the Midwest, and we really don't take tornadoes seriously. We like to go outside and watch them. It's fun. It's entertainment.
Yeah, I was barbecuing once when the sirens went off.
Yeah. Well, the best one is the guy across the street who was on his roof.
On his roof.
With a leaf blower.
Cleaning the gutters.
Cleaning the gutters while the sirens were going off. Anybody who does not live in the Midwest, you're going, what the heck? Anybody who is in the Midwest is still like, that's a little weird. But
no, people in the Midwest are like, yeah, that tracks.
Well, getting up on your roof with a leaf blower is a little weird. I haven't ever seen anybody.
I bet we're
going to
get some emails about that.
I do it all the time. I don't know. Like, it's
Broomsticks.butterbeer@gmail.com.
Yeah, so we were supposed to kind of. Bars aren't go bags, they're like survive in the basement bags.
Yeah, so
like you're supposed to have battery radio and flashlight.
If you you remember when we were in elementary school, what was it, 91 maybe, when that guy predicted
the
end of the world earthquake that was going to like rip Missouri in half.
Yeah.
What was that? But everybody was so sure that this was coming, and they had it like down to like
the newspaper the next day was the day the earth stood still. I remember that. I remember the headline the next day. I don't remember when it was, but the headline the next
you know
day
whoever
was,
came up with that was
the
like
day
oh,
the world stood
man,
still.
If that earthquake doesn't come, man, I got
I'm
the
ready.
Best.
Ready.
I got the best headline, but my mom, my parents, especially my mom. Because she was the one who was doing all the hoarding here. We had never done any kind of like food storage in the basement or anything like that. Mm-hmm. But everybody was doing it.
And do you go in the basement in an earthquake? I don't think you do.
No.
Because you don't want the whole house to fall on you.
No, that's like the worst place to be.
Yeah.
In an earthquake. But in the basement we had maybe 10 gallon jugs
of
water.
Yeah, everybody was saving their milk jugs to fill with water.
Yep. We had a bunch of canned food. We had candles. We had batteries. We had flashlights, stuff like that. And then nothing happened.
Nothing happened. See, we didn't really have anything like that. But, like, everything was kind of already in the kitchen. My dad was really into fish. We had a lot of fish tanks.
The band?
No, fish tanks. And so he would fill milk jugs with water and leave them at the bottom of our pantry. And he had to put the treatment stuff in and have like sit for 3 days or whatever. So he'd always have gallons of water prepared for the fish. But I'm assuming we could have drunk that. And then, you know, if it's in the pantry, then that's where all the food is anyway. And then all of our candles and matches and flashlights were in the kitchen. So as long as we could get to the kitchen, we'd be fine.
So I looked it up. It was December of 1990. Climatologist Ivan Browning, I remember that name for some reason. That name sounds, because we heard it all the time, had forecast that a magnitude 6.5 to 7.5 earthquake would strike along the New Madrid Fault. Within the first 5 days of December, news crews, researchers, and curious onlookers from around the globe descended upon the small Missouri town. New Madrid, Missouri. Bracing for a seismic event that never came. Mm. Locals were divided on how seriously to take the warning. There was a quote here. I was about to do it in a
news voice in a
certain accent. I will do that to avoid offending any of those in the rural areas of Missouri.
Oh.
I'm going to do it anyway.
Go for it.
We live in this area, you know. It's a chance of that happening every day, you know?
You know, y'all?
So it's kind of a big joke to me, one resident told.
It's a big old joke.
KMBC-TV at the time, reflecting a widespread skepticism.
Well, you know, Daniel, I have told you on many occasions, my fifth grade teacher, Mrs. Schmidt, she also predicted that, well, not predicted, I mean, she said it's going to happen. Missouri is built on a bed of limestone, acid rain erodes limestone, that's why we got all the caves, and one day Missouri's just going to cave in. So no earthquake needed, we just need some rain, and then the whole state's going to cave in. This is what she told the group of fifth graders, and I was terrified.
Yeah, if you really want to go down a rabbit hole, we can talk about the cheese storage in the limestone caves of Springfield, Missouri.
I think we've talked about that already.
On the podcast?
I think so. Uh-huh.
So what's in your go bag? Like, if you had to like come up with one right now.
Right now?
Like I said, like, we're leaving, and I give you a duffel bag, moderately sized duffel bag.
Yes.
And I said, we're leaving in 20 minutes.
And, like, the world is ending?
We're not coming back.
But... are we facing a natural disaster? We're just not coming back?
Who knows?
I need to know the backstory.
Nuclear war. The threat of nuclear war. We're going into the limestone caves to hide from the nuclear fallout.
Oh, that's a bad idea. It's just going to cave in and we're going to get squished. Okay, so I've got my duffel bag. I'm going to go into the bedroom, the drawer with all the medicine. I'm going to dump a bunch of medicine in my bag.
Ooh, good idea.
Probably hit the hall closet because there's medicine in there too.
Oh, there's a lot of painkillers in there too. Because every time I have a surgery, and you know, guys, you know, I like to have surgery every 4 or 5 months, just like kind of getting your oil changed just for maintenance.
Yes, yes.
They give me like a huge bottle of like
Oxy,
like big time painkillers, and I never really take them because I. It's not because I'm such like a tough guy. It's because I kind of want to know like how I'm really doing.
Mm-hmm. Don't want to mask the pain.
Yeah. Without, you know, saying, oh, I think I'm improving really well. And then the pain medicine wears off. Oh, I feel terrible. So we've got, I think that stuff, when the apocalypse comes, that stuff's going to be like currency. Mm-hmm. So we'll be good.
So yeah, basically my medicine cabinet, drawer, whatever, the hall closet. Medicine, probably gonna grab some first aid supplies as well.
Mm-hmm.
There's bandages and wraps and whatnot in there. I mean, I'd probably grab Robin's medicine, although that's not gonna get us very far.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like I would want her to have it. She's liver issues, and so I would want her to have her medicine.
And that's something too that like I've seen in like zombie movies and TV shows that. You know, people raid the people pharmacies, but they forget about the vet's offices that have a lot of medicines that cross over.
Yeah,
that cross over between people and animals.
The dosages are a little different.
Yeah.
So that
but you can figure it out.
Don't kill yourself with some doggy thyroid medicine.
Yeah.
And if we're like... world's ending, we're going to go hide, live in a cave. I would also probably grab like socks and underwear, extra pair of shoes, because once your shoes wear out, what are you going to do?
Any entertainment?
Not really, because we're probably not going to have electricity.
Yeah, but I was thinking like maybe like your three favorite books or something like that. The Bible, of course.
No. So that was the other thing. Like, if we were just had to leave, like, go on the run from the law or something, then I would...
Johnny Law.
There are some books that are on my shelf that are worth a lot of money that I would take so that we could sell them.
For currency, yes.
And, currency. But if the world is just, like, ending, I don't think these books are going to hold their value.
You don't know that.
There might be some...
It might be, like, cigarettes in prison. Like, everybody wants them.
You got a book?
Like,
I just need a book.
You got a Court of Thorns and Roses? First edition? Signed?
I do. I do.
All right. So, anything else for your go bag?
Well, if I got some room, then I'll probably, like you said, grab some food. Canned goods. Mm-hmm. Food. Can opener.
Ah, yeah, don't forget about the can opener.
You gotta take the can opener.
That's why Spam is so good, because it comes with its own
pop top.
Yeah. And it probably is impervious to time.
Probably.
like Twinkies.
I have a... Do I get to grab an extra bag for the dogs?
You can have... I'll give you a fanny pack.
Well, but I have that bag, their travel bag downstairs, mm-hmm. that's already packed for when I travel mm-hmm. with them. So I would just grab that bag.
You strap it to Nightwing?
Yeah. Well, it's pretty big. It's pretty big. But that has a can opener in it. It has like their bowls and extra leashes and mm-hmm. things like that. So also has a little like mini first aid kit, ponchos. I have all kinds of things in that bag.
Yeah, I didn't think about like ponchos be something that would be, could be useful, and it could be used for like a multitude of things, mm-hmm. you know, and it would not. I was trying to think of like things that were lightweight, smaller, but also effective in at least one way, if not multiple ways.
If I'm going on the run, more like Harry's going on like a little mission, not the end of the world type thing, then, you know, I would probably take my iPad, because you could get on Wi-Fi somewhere and look things up and do things. Phone, obviously.
Like end of the world, you got to think about like water filters too, if you have like portable water filters that you would want to have in your go bag.
We have a lot of candles right now though.
Yeah.
Post Christmas.
And matches, you would need probably waterproof matches, just mm-hmm. something that you would want. So something to think about, guys, you know, as we are here in 2026. Happy New Year, by the way, if you're listening to us as we put these episodes out live.
Also, sorry, I have a bit of a cold.
Now, we're usually very, very healthy.
Usually. People. But, you know, people get together for the holidays and they share germs.
And I hope it's not a cold, because that means I'm going to get a cold.
I'm pretty sure it's a cold. Oh. I did have a lady. Did I tell you this? A lady came into the library.
Just coughed right in your face.
Three times. Right in my face. Didn't try to cover her mouth. I mean, just open. Right in my face. While she was handing me her books to check out. And I'm just like, what is wrong with you? Mm. No hand up. No elbow. Cough into your shoulder. Nothing. Just open. Hack right into my face.
Yeah, so that'll do it.
We're blaming her.
That'll do it.
We're blaming her.
So we kind of get taken down memory lane a bit with the items in Harry's luggage. We saw the buttons that were made for the Triwizard Tournament. The magic mirror that Sirius gave him, which is now broken.
Yeah, how many times has Harry cut himself? He needs a first aid kit.
Yeah. Well, he has just shards of glass in the bottom of his trunk. Which
well,
he apparently
first it was
hasn't
a teacup.
Hasn't cleaned in years.
Years, I mean, he is.
There's just like there was like broken quills.
Preteen
and
boy, like
just
who boys
all kinds
clean
of
out
junk
their,
in there.
Their suitcase.
Like you need get a shop vac, bro. Get in there. Like you don't when you come home for the summer, you don't empty it all out and.
Boys don't know.
Boys are the worst. His school and Quidditch robes, which I guess he'll probably never see again. So there's a lot of...
things that most people would be keeping.
Yeah, there's a lot of things with like sentimental or historic value to him, to his life, particularly his wizarding life. And now he's kind of leaving all that, it's almost, you know, metaphorical. He's like leaving that part of his life behind.
And he wonders what the Dudleys are going to do with it. Like, they'll probably burn it all. And, you know.
Like you call them the Dudleys.
The Dursleys.
like the tag team in the WWE in the 90s.
Yeah, the Dudleys. Mm-hmm. Sorry, again, I have a cold and my head is a little fuzzy. What were you talking about?
Talking about.
Leaving his stuff.
Yeah, things of.
He doesn't really have a home.
Sentimental value.
Like, if. When we went off to college and left all our stuff at home, you leave it at home. Mm-hmm. You come back and your mom still has it. To this day, my mom still probably has stuff that was in my room. My parents have moved, but somewhere in the basement in a box is stuff that was in my, that I left in my room that mm-hmm. I didn't take with me. But Harry doesn't really have that luxury.
Yeah, it. I mean, if Sirius was still around and he had, you know, maybe a...
He could leave it at...
A permanent place to
Sirius's
stay.
Sirius's place, or, yeah.
But it sounds like that's not an option for them, given the state of the wizarding world and Voldemort's re-rise to power. So Harry's only taking essentials, maybe a couple of personal items, which leads me to believe, like I said, he's of the mind that he's going to be constantly moving in the next part of his journey, whether that's hiding from Voldemort or chasing after him. He's going to have to be lean and mean with what he's carrying around. But this chapter is titled In Memoriam for a reason. The Wizarding World is remembering the life and legacy of Professor Dumbledore. And we get Dumbledore's lifelong friend, Elpheus Doge, writing a very nice piece in the Daily Prophet. And we learn a lot of new information about young Dumbledore.
Yeah, this was a fairly short chapter.
Mm-hmm.
And even the pages that we read weren't like full text pages.
Right.
Because it was typed up like a newspaper article.
Marginalized. On left and right to let you know that it was.
I was kind of shocked when I turned the page. I'm like, oh, it's over. Like, it was really quick. But we got a lot of information.
We did. We got inundated with quite a bit. So we learned that Elpheus and Dumbledore met in their first year at Hogwarts when Dumbledore helped Doge. What was Dumbledore like in his pre-headmaster years, based on what we learned in this chapter?
In this article, he comes off very kind. He helps out Doge when he had just gotten over dragon pox, and he was still green and he had scars, and all the other kids kind of thought he was icky and didn't want to talk to him, but Dumbledore was like, it's fine, you know. Kids are stupid.
Very, very understanding, very accepting, very welcoming.
And we do talk about, or we get a little bit of information about his past with his father. And he's kind of dealing with that, which kind of reminded me a lot of how when Harry came to school, like there seemed to be a little bit of mirroring there. Harry came to school and everybody seemed to have these ideas and preconceived notions about him. And kind of wanted to know his backstory that he didn't even really know himself. And the same thing with Dumbledore. They all wanted to know, oh, your dad this, your dad that, and he didn't want to talk about it.
So Dumbledore's father, Percival, which we know is one of Dumbledore's many middle names, Percival was sent to Azkaban for life for the attack of three muggles. We don't really get much more information other than that at this point.
Seems most people at the time assumed that he was just like a pure blood radicalist and just hated muggles and attacked him for no reason, which, you know, doesn't really seem to fit.
We also learned that Dumbledore is seen as probably the most brilliant student in the history of Hogwarts.
Like, right away.
And that's something that there was similar, you know, discussions at the time about Tom Riddle, and similar discussions about Harry.
Yeah, it seems that it shows, it seems that it's obvious very almost immediately. Like, either you're really going to be really good or you're going to have to work at it.
We mentioned he's super generous and kind based on Elpheus's article, and that Dumbledore's mother died just after Dumbledore was finishing school, and Dumbledore had to become the head of his household to take care of his little brother and sister. Dad's in prison for life, mom has passed away, and Dumbledore, from, you know, fresh out of school, has to be the breadwinner and caretaker for his little brother and sister. And then within a year of that happening, his sister Ariana passes away. So not the most pleasant of upbringings for Dumbledore, but, you know, it just it kind of shows you that everybody is different in how they react to tragedy and how they react to trauma and how they react to strife in their life, because Voldemort had a lot of horrible things happen to him growing up, and his life took him down one path, and Dumbledore had a lot of horrible things happen in his life growing up, and his life took him down another path. There's a brief mention of Dumbledore's famous duel with Grindelwald 50 years prior.
Yes.
And Grindelwald is a character that I first learned about in the Fantastic Beasts movies,
mm-hmm.
which kind of enjoyed the first one, hated the second one so much that I never even watched the third one. You watched the third one on a plane.
Yes, we were on a plane, and yeah. it was one of the options to watch. And so I was like, oh, okay, I'll watch this. And yeah, I mean, I was stuck on a plane, so why not?
That's your review. I was stuck on a plane, so why not? 3 stars.
Why not?
But is this the first time we've heard of Grindelwald in these books? Maybe a passing
maybe
reference.
Maybe a passing
before,
reference, but because just as an attribute of Dumbledore's that he participated in this famous duel.
Yeah.
Because Harry like kind of says, we knew about that, but we don't know anything about that.
Yeah.
Like, it was just something everybody knows, that he dueled Grindelwald.
Is that something, do we ever learn more?
This is all important. All of it.
All of it is important.
Yes.
Okay.
We are not just passing time here.
So Harry and Dumbledore had a complicated relationship when Dumbledore was alive. There were times when they showed genuine love for each other. There were also times when Dumbledore ghosted Harry. There were times when Dumbledore seemingly used Harry, you know, from an outsider's perspective. There were times when Harry really needed to have more out of that relationship, and Dumbledore couldn't give it to him because of the situation, or thought it was better not to. Do you think that things would have turned out differently? Differently in the sense that maybe Dumbledore lives, maybe evil is defeated, if Harry and Dumbledore had been on the same page from day one, and if Dumbledore had really brought Harry in and said, look, Harry, this is the lay of the land, this is everything that you've got going on, I'm going to let you in about, because Dumbledore kind of did that toward the end when he finally said, you know what, I was wrong, you need to know this stuff, and let's start going into the Pensieve more, let's start having private lessons, let's start going on adventures together. Do you think things would have turned out differently had Dumbledore taken a different tact here, or do you think this was just fate?
So this is kind of a big controversy with people. You know, there's some people that are like, Dumbledore wasn't that great, and then other people, you know, worship Dumbledore. It was this great person.
Are you talking about like readers of the book?
Readers of the book.
Okay.
At the end, when
gotcha.
You're looking back
okay.
at the whole thing.
I didn't know if you were talking about
people in the
this
story.
Chapter,
yeah, it's kind of that.
Because in this chapter, we kind of do get that later with the Rita Skeeter thing.
Mm-hmm.
That maybe Dumbledore wasn't as good as we thought he was.
The same way people are kind of split with Snape. Like, oh, he was really a good guy all along, and then like, well, no, but he wasn't that good.
Yeah.
And you know, it's a lot. I don't think there's a clear answer. Like, it's not like, no, Snape was a bad guy, Dumbledore was a good guy, end of discussion. People are not that way.
And
there's
maybe,
a lot of gray, and a lot of people evolve as they grow older.
And maybe that's good, because, you know, none of us are
all one
inherently
thing.
Good or evil. You know, there's kind of shades of gray in there.
So I kind of... Dumbledore mentions this somewhere about, you know, wanting Harry to kind of have a childhood. And
mm-hmm.
I kind of am on that team.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he came to Hogwarts his first year. Dumbledore told him very, very little that first year. yes, looking back with some of it, some of that information have helped, yes, but then it would have just put a shadow over his whole Hogwarts experience.
And maybe if you don't give him the chance to have a childhood, maybe he ends up like Tom.
Yeah, like I feel like he needed.
If you force all this trauma on him.
Mm-hmm. He's got to have these couple of years where, yeah, a couple of bad things happen and Voldemort's out there and he's trying to kill him.
Yeah,
those things happen.
A monster comes to the school and tries to kill the kids. You know how it be.
Yeah. But if he just threw it all on him at once and been like, hey, Harry, this is what's going to happen. Who knows? It could have just literally destroyed him.
Mm-hmm.
What's the point? What's the point of trying this big, bad, evil wizard? You gotta let him build some confidence, get some friends, experience some things on his own mm-hmm. before you dump all this on him. Do some snogging, have a little teenage years. So I'm kind of in favor of the way Dumbledore handled things,
mm-hmm.
I guess is what I'm trying to say.
Gotcha.
Yes, you could have given him more information in the beginning, but I think that would have been done more harm than good.
Yeah, I mean, I think that I agree with that. The only issue I have is there was that time, like, when Harry was in front of the Wizengamot and Dumbledore came in and spoke on his behalf and then wouldn't even talk to Harry, and I think that went a little
too far,
too extreme. And Dumbledore, he later admits
that he
made that mistake.
He's
not unfallible.
No.
He's
a dude trying to deal with everything.
Yes.
Literally everything. Not just Harry, but the school, all the other kids, trying to find the Horcruxes on his own. At first, he was doing that. And
he's got the ministry working against him.
Yeah.
You know,
he's playing a multi-level game of chess and trying to keep it all balanced. And, you know, he made a choice and that one probably wasn't the best, but I'm not going to fault him for it.
As we mentioned a second ago, your favorite character's back.
Rita.
Rita Skeeter and her magical plagiarism pen.
I think she's your favorite character.
I kind of like Rita Skeeter.
I like that Hermione locked her in a jar.
You know, I kind of like Rita Skeeter. I don't know why. I'm not perfect, you know. Well, Rita has written a book about the life of Dumbledore.
900 pages.
900 pages, just 4 weeks after his death. And based on Rita's interview promoting the book, makes it sound like it's not going to be the same vibe as Elpheus Doge's piece, is it?
No. She's... it's called, like, The Life and Lies.
Uh-huh.
So...
We're starting off on a very positive note.
She paints him as, like, this bad, rowdy teenager who gets into a lot of trouble. His family's all sketchy. All of them. She said, particularly the mom and the sister that we don't even know a lot about.
Mm-hmm. Promises to show the real Dumbledore.
The real Dumbledore.
Insinuating that the positive public face that he had was hiding a lot of bad characteristics, like you said. Dumbledore dabbled in the dark arts. And that the real stories of Dumbledore's mother and sister will shock you.
Shock you. And that the famous duel never happened
mm-hmm.
between him
and Grindelwald. There's even a whole chapter about the Dumbledore-Harry relationship, which you just know is going to go a certain way.
Yeah.
So this is just another thing for Harry to have to worry about. So after reading this interview, do you think that Harry is having second thoughts about the man he thought Dumbledore was, or does Harry just think it's 900 pages of lies because it's Rita Skeeter?
I think he thinks it's 900 pages of lies because it's Rita Skeeter, but actually the other article was making him think he didn't know Dumbledore as well mm-hmm. as he thought he did. After he reads the first article, and he was like, oh, you know what? I can't even comprehend a young Dumbledore or a teenage Dumbledore. Like, that doesn't even work in my head.
Because the thing that might give me pause if I was Harry is that, yeah, Rita Skeeter is very, what's the word?
Loose with the truth?
Yeah.
With the facts?
Yeah.
But there are probably some facts in there.
But she has always been very clever. Mm-hmm. And has, in how she gets her scoops, she has always been able to get information, whether by nefarious means or not, that other people can't get. So you can't deny that about her. Mm-hmm.
She has a handy ability to listen in on people's conversations, but whether or not those people are saying facts or opinions or repeating rumors, who knows?
I guess I'm kind of surprised about this book because I thought that Hermione had kind of gotten the Rita Skeeter thing under control. So why does Rita all of a sudden feel like invincible again?
Wasn't it just about Harry, though? The deal was like she would never write about Harry again.
Yeah, but there's a whole chapter in there that we don't even know what's in it yet. And you know that it's not going to be good.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I mean, the consequence was like she was going to turn her in for her unregistered ability.
Uh-huh.
But I don't know. Maybe now she knows. I don't know how she would know that Harry's going to, like, go on the run.
Well, that's what I'm wondering. I'm wondering if the situation has given Rita more confidence to kind of go back to her old ways. Dumbledore's gone. You know, Harry's biggest supporter. Number one protector in the end. Mm-hmm. The wizarding world is upside down right now. Turned on its head. Muggles are being killed. Bridges are being destroyed. There's all of this chaos going on, and Rita kind of thrives in the chaotic environment.
Also, the paycheck.
Yeah,
you know, the reward might outweigh the risk.
Yeah, money fixes a lot.
You got to figure everyone is buying this book. Uh-huh.
Probably got a big advance.
Even if they know her reputation and like, oh, this is pure garbage.
Yeah,
but I kind of want to read the book.
Yeah, yeah.
I want to read it.
Yeah.
Just to see what she says.
I'm kind of surprised that like that hasn't been written. Like.
Yeah.
Like
she did all these other books.
And I know you wouldn't want to make it 900 pages.
History of Hogwarts and whatever, yeah. But.
And those are all pretty short.
Yeah.
You wouldn't want to make it 900 pages. But like with AI and stuff now, like to fill in some of those blanks, like you probably could get a 900 page Life and Lies of Albus Dumbledore by Rita Skeeter, you know, and sell it for whatever you want. Much like the book in the Wizarding World, everybody's going to want to buy it. So I'm kind of surprised that something like that hasn't happened yet. And who knows, you know, with the new TV show in the next year or two, there's going to be a whole new wave of merchandise and things like that, which I'm excited about.
Well, I think part of it was the Fantastic Beasts movies, because we couldn't write that book and mm-hmm. kind of like set events in stone when we knew we were going to need to still play with the history.
Yeah, we knew we were going to have to make these bad movies.
Yeah. Yeah.
But now the bad movies are done.
Are they, though? We're just going like, to pump out another
I
one.
Think
or
so. I don't think so. I think
maybe not a Fantastic Beast, but there'll be something.
I don't know. Like, everybody's kind of like, I see the television show as a low risk proposal.
Yes. But if that does well, then there will be more prequels and stuff that happens afterwards. You know, we're going to still play in this world. This world exists now.
Mm-hmm.
People are going to play in it. They're going to write stuff. They're going to put movies out. They're going to forever.
Well, that's pretty much the end of, like you said, it was a pretty short chapter. That's pretty much the end of chapter two. We do have an email if you, unless you have something else you want to add about chapter two.
Nope.
The email comes from, I hope I'm saying this right, Adeline, or Adeline? Adeline.
Could go either way.
I'm going to go Adeline.
Okay.
In Russellville, Arkansas.
Hi, Adeline.
And she writes to us, broomsticks.butterbeer@gmail.com. Hi, guys. I'm excited for the upcoming Harry Potter HBO show, and I'm sure it'll be set in the same era as the books and movies, 1991 to 1998. But should it be? I wondered if it wouldn't be better to set it in a more modern era. We could see Arthur Weasley trying to figure out his iPhone, whether or not wizards use the internet, or whether the night bus is self-driving and eco-friendly. Just a thought. Love the show and the new theme song.
Thanks for your email. Don't hate me, but no.
Okay. So you still want to set it in the 90s.
So for most fans, I feel like this show is a way to fix some of the mistakes that the movies made. It's a way to get more things in. We want to see Peeves. We want to see the characters represented correctly. We don't want to see things lumped together like they kind of did to smush the movie. You know, we want it to be more like the books. Mm-hmm. So if we change the time setting, I just don't, that would alter it too much. I feel like this is a chance to correct mistakes that the movies made.
Yeah,
see, I feel like that's interesting.
Do you think it would really change that much, though? Like, setting it 25 to 30 years later than the original? Like,
sorry.
I mean, it might change some of the, like, the little intricacies that would come up with the year switch, but do you think it would change, like, a whole lot?
Probably not, but I still would just want it to be like the books. Because that's just, like, this unobtainable goal that all readers want. We want the book in movie show form.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody's ever really gotten it right. And so,
This is an opportunity.
We're going to try. We're going to swing for the fences. We're going to try. But also, directors like to put their own spin on things. And
well, I'm saying, like, after we do this, we set it in modern days, then we can reboot it again. We go back in time. We do like a
medieval time.
Yes. We do like a Wild West Harry Potter. We do a medieval times Harry Potter. We do a 1960s Harry Potter with like hippies and stuff. We do all these. We've got content for decades.
What you guys are talking about is fanfic, though. You could just go read some fanfic. I'm sure there's Harry Potter set in the future, Harry Potter set in the past, Harry Potter in the Wild West, maybe not. But you can write
Wild West.
Like, if you want those things, fanfic is out there. People have mashed up everything and changed everything. And I wouldn't mind. So there's like these Disney books. You've gotten some mm-hmm. from me. Where they take the Disney story that you know.
I was just looking at one on this shelf over there.
Yep. And they change like one thing and retell the story.
Mm-hmm.
I think those would be great for this series. But I don't want to waste our movie or TV shot on that.
Mm-hmm.
But if somebody wanted to like rewrite the Harry Potter books and change the one thing, like what if it wasn't Harry that he went to go, because we talk about that. What if he wasn't Harry that Voldemort went to that night? What if it was somebody else and set a different student on that path
mm-hmm.
as the chosen one?
Or what if Harry died as a baby and one of the parents lived?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you see stuff like that in comic books a lot with like alternate universes and stuff. Like there's mm-hmm. there's one where Bruce Wayne doesn't become Batman. His dad becomes Batman because his son and wife get killed. There's ones where the dad becomes Batman and the mom becomes the Joker because she's so distraught over losing her. They're both so distraught over losing their son that it's kind of like
they handle the trauma in opposite like ways.
One of them's going to go on to become Dumbledore. One's going to go on to become Voldemort. It's interesting to see things like that, but I understand you saying that I don't want to. We're getting a shot at this.
We're getting a shot, this right. And I want it done right.
Have you ever heard the Harry Potter joke about the Chicago Bulls?
No.
Because I wrote this down because when I saw Adeline's email, it made me think of this joke that I'd heard before. Someone told me that the joke goes like this. Someone told me that Harry Potter is supposed to take place between 1991 and 1998, which is ridiculous because not once in those seven books does a single character say, man, the Bulls are having a hell of a run, huh? So there's no way those could be taking place between 1991 and 1998.
Do people watch American basketball?
So they do now, but it really started in 1992 with the Dream Team.
Uh-huh.
When we sent all of our pro players over to the Olympics and just blew everybody out.
Yeah.
So in 1992, that kind of started this whole movement of international basketball, where right now the last five MVP awards, as we record this in 2026, the last five NBA MVPs are non-American players.
Oh.
So there's like the guy that won it last year is from Canada. The guy that's won it three times is from Serbia. And then there was a guy from Greece that won it. So it just kind of shows like how the world has caught up with us. Like, we still won the gold last time, but we weren't winning by 80 points like we, you know, used to. Mm. So, yeah, that kind of started in 92. So I would think that 92, the Dream Team happens. All these people over in England see this, get really into basketball.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, they're going to watch the Bulls because they're having this great run. And it's kind of weird that it's not mentioned in these books.
Yes.
We kid, we have fun, but I don't know. I like that joke.
It's funny.
It's funny. I laughed. Anything else you want to add, or are we going to get out of here? I think we're done.
I think we're done.
You can send us emails like Adeline did. Thank you. Really, really, really appreciate it. Give us good discussion topics and allow us to be super funny for you and entertaining.
Even with a cold.
So you put it on the tee for us, and we'll at least hit a single, if not knock it out of the park. Send us those emails, broomsticks.butterbeer@gmail.com. Follow us on all your social media platforms. I know we don't post enough. We don't engage enough, but that's just because social media is so often a tar pit of awfulness that I don't want to step into.
That's not true. It's Basenji puppy season. My page is just Basenji puppy.
Basenji puppy season.
It's Basenji puppy season. That's the breed of dog that we have, for anybody who doesn't know.
And your feed is inundated with...
And Basenji's only going to see them once a year in the fall. So right now, all the puppies are being born.
It's puppy
for the
time.
Whole year. It is puppy time.
But follow us on social media, irregardless of whether we post a lot of stuff or not. We usually post when there's new episodes up. Every once in a while, we'll post something, but yeah, we should be.
I'm gonna post a puppy picture.
We should
Nightwing
engage
and Robin.
More. Okay. On Instagram
and Facebook.
So Facebook, broomsticks.butterbeer. You can also our broomsticks and butterbeer. You can also message us on Facebook, and we'll give you a shout out on here, just like an email. Twitter/X is @broomsticksb. Instagram is @broomsticksbpodcast. And we are @BroomsticksB also on Blue Sky. I gotta see what these Blue Sky numbers are. I haven't been on Blue Sky much lately. But we are... Got to have gotten some followers, right? 746 followers on Blue Sky. So follow us and we'll follow you back because we're nice people. Until next time, shout out to our inner circle, Jennifer, Catherine, Amelia, Jane, Ronnie, Anastasia, Kelly, Olivia, Jenny, and Emma. Happy New Year to everybody if you're listening to this at the beginning of 2026. And be a wizard, be a witch, be a muggle, be a squib, but don't be a jerk.
Or a git.
See ya.
Bye.
Coming out.